Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to episode 16 of Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. I just asked Max moments ago, hey, do you want to try the intro? And let me just say his response would have made our producer, Tim, have to put a little E next to this episode for explicit. So I'm going to continue to do the intros. Max, what's up?
What's up, man? You nailed it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It is Sunday. It's Mother's Day. I know you'll be listening to this a day later. But, of course, Max and I want to give a shout out to all the moms out there. My wife experiencing her first Mother's Day. Feel like she's had a good day.
Are you doing well? I mean, this is a big one for you because you have to do a great job, but if you set the bar too high, there's going to be a lot of Mother's Days going on. You're going to have to either meet that mark or exceed it pretty much going forward.
So I did do something that I think I'm going to continue throughout the years. And I spelled Happy Mother's Day and I made our 11-month-old son, I guess pose is the word. I don't think 11 months old pose, but I made him pose with lettering to spell out Happy Mother's Day, and all of the pictures were a different letter.
That's awesome.
Now that was a very small child who doesn't listen. Not the easiest to give them pieces of paper with a letter on them, wants to eat it or rip it up instantaneously.
I feel like you're talking about me. I feel like it's a direct shot at me.
I gave the whiteboard a couple times. I even laid out a couple of letters, like made golf clubs spell a letter, and he immediately grabs a golf club and throws it elsewhere. So it took a little bit of time, but I think it's going to be a tradition I keep up as we go on, because obviously he's going to change over the years. But yeah, I knew that was going to be kind of the ceiling I had to hit, because as you said, you do the front yard or you do something kind of wild and I'm going to have to do that forever. I'm never going to be able to stop doing
it. But it's
that.
Good. You used Henry, like you used your son, you sold him out. So now he forever has to be like as cute as can be in all these things. Right. When he's 17 years old, Cindy's going to ask him, hey, can you spell it out? Can you pose again? He's like, Mom, I wanna.
he's gonna hate doing this so much when he's in those ages where he thinks his parents are lame. But anyway, moms, we wouldn't do this stuff without you. You are amazing people and you're the best. I would say you're the best collection of people on the planet. Is that fair to say?
Dude, I think moms, sports moms, I think especially, man, because you get a lot of the dads, kind of getting the sons and daughters into the sport, just generally, I guess more, especially golf, more dads, I think, play golf. It's a big, older guy sport.
Right.
But the moms are usually the ones that drive you around. They're the ones that have to that you feel a little more open to venting about your golf. So you don't get, with my parents, my mom knew nothing about golf. My dad knows actually quite a bit. And it's sometimes when you want to just vent, you don't want to talk to somebody who knows enough to be able to like combat your complaint. You want somebody who is going to just listen. So like that was my mom. I call my mom and tell her I'm putting bad. She's like, oh, that stinks. I'm like, yeah, it does. I don't want anybody to be like, well, how's this? I just want you to like
take an inside out.
Yeah.
Like, no. I don't talk about my tempo.
I just
hate putting right now.
Putting, yeah. So moms are the best.
I remember I left a junior golf tournament. There was a big junior golf tournament in Texas in Waco. It was a Starburst junior golf tournament or something. And it was a big, 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 big field. And
was
I played
big?
Pretty It was big. I played pretty well. It was like the pink Starburst of field.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't red, but it was close.
Man,
I think I
like pink better. So
yeah, red.
I feel like you're splitting hairs between like U.S. Open and the Masters.
I had some Starburst last night. It was dark, so I didn't quite look at the coloring. Every time I had a red, it was the best.
I hear that. I love red. Yeah, I love red.
But I played well.
Pink red or pink Starburst tournament.
I played well, top 30 or something. And it's like a 3.5-hour drive from Waco to my hometown, Marshall. And my dad and I broke down the round the entire drive back with my mom in the car. And I remember a couple of days later, she goes, I just don't know how you guys can talk about this that much. And you're like, that's actually the sane response is what
yes,
my mom
of
thought.
Course.
This is insanity, what we're going on. But last week, Max, we had a lot to talk about, man. It was supposed to be Sunday at Wells Fargo. Spoiler alert, Max won the Wells Fargo last year. So he was our defending champion. And and he was going to have this big week, and it was going to be a back-to-back victory, I'm assuming, is what you were thinking. And of course, that golf tournament was postponed, as everything else has been postponed and canceled. So we just kind of relived 2019. We don't have that this week. I'm going to be honest with you. This one might not get voted in whatever the Twitter.
I already got the name for our what we should not caption. What do we call it when
title?
We name our, yeah, the title of our podcast should just be Slim Pickens.
Okay, I like it. I'm in. Like, that saves me 12 minutes of racking my brain when this ends. We'll just go with Slim Pickens. Somebody on Twitter said that I love the podcast, but the titles.
Yeah, they didn't like the titles.
I mean, sorry, man. Yeah. You know what people don't look at ever is a podcast title.
No, we're more into the substance of the podcast, not so much the title of the podcast, which is
we've exhausted ourselves. That's right. Yeah. When we're done with it, we did a as you guys know, if you've been listening, we've been doing this regrip series where we've basically been looking back on old USGA championships. We did the 96 Amateur with Tiger, of course. We did 06 US Open. We just did the 2005 U.S. Women's Open at Cherry Hills this past Saturday, and it was great. I mean, it was carnage. The golf course was brutal. Scoring average on Sunday was north of 76 for the field, but it was a lot of fun to kind of watch what all went down, and then, of course, the birdie Kim shot on the last hole. We're going to do the 2013 U.S. Open this Saturday. That is a U.S. Open that one of the two people you're listening to played in, and spoiler, not me, Max was in the field. At Marion,
speaking of the number two, that was how many rounds I played.
Just two. Well, now, as you said during regripped,
I said like four and a half. If you tournament rounds,
yeah, you played plenty of practice rounds. Did you buy swag at Marion? I think Marion's got the best logo in all of golf.
I don't
did you buy
think
any
I
stuff?
Did. I don't Nothing. Think I did. I'm trying to think. I'm sure my family did. It was a week though, so soppy wet that at the end we all or not. I didn't fortunately have to, but everybody pretty much walked back to the house, my aunt and uncle's house, who lived there, and there was a little bucket outside, and everyone just took their shoes off and threw them all away because they were just so gross. So hopefully they bought shoes, some Marion golf shoes,
not with the Marion logo. We get a lot of questions. I'm sure you get these on Twitter and on Instagram as well. Of we missed it, where can we watch it? Well, people that are smarter than Max and I created a YouTube page. YouTube.com/regripped. First, I have absolutely no idea how that wasn't taken. Regripped seems like something a guy that teaches people how to grip golf clubs maybe would have taken years ago. But hey, we're happy it was there. Go there. You can rewatch all of our regrips we've done and the ones we're going to do moving forward. So that's just basically our only programming note. And Max, I wanted to just kind of quickly transition to this because you and I know the golf course and we know the guy. You know the guy much, much better than I do. We had a course record news-making moment this week at Mesa Country Club. It's a golf course you and I've played a couple times over the last few weeks. Joel Damon, dirty.
Dirty. I mean, 58, 14 under, and the craziest of all, 12 under in his last 11, didn't make a score higher than three. People who played it, we've both played it quite a few times. Awesome golf course. Not particularly long. I wouldn't say particularly hard. The par fives are gettable, but tricky par threes. And anyone who's ever played golf knows that shooting 14 under par is isn't just something. I don't care what the golf course looks like. It could be a pitch and putt 14 under is a joke. Mesa is much more than that. So phenomenal round. I don't. Joel is an unreal golfer, as everyone knows. But the guy can get it going, and it's cool. He mentioned how many home courses he has. A little humble brag, while he also said that he doesn't have a course record at any of them. I know that Gino, his caddy, has the course record at one of their courses. So I'm sure it's nice for Joel to finally get a course
record
at one of his many. Yeah, good player in his own right. At one of his many home courses, I'm sure it was overdue.
Max, for everybody listening, you said something about 14 under. I mean, it is just a number that we normal people don't understand. And I mean, I know 14 under is a number that most people have never touched before, but sub 60, even low 60s, a 61, a 60, something like that on a golf course, you know, he's playing a match, he's playing guys. And what is it that you think players have where they can kind of black out and just go super dirty low? When does that happen when you're growing up? And why are certain guys able to do it and certain guys not able to do it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's a consistency thing. If you have a consistent golf game like everyone on the PGA Tour does, you're able to it's just like the general principle of it. I mean, if you're going to play 18 holes, you need to play, you know, 18 good ones to shoot 14 under. I mean, you can't be making bogeys. So I would just say like the general level of golf is high, but mentally, I do think that people who play high level golf are really able to get into a one shot at a time thing. It's a overused mantra, but it is probably the most true. It's most true pretty much anything you do. You're not going to get too far ahead of yourself when you do that. That's a problem you're not going to get, you know, in the past with, in this case, you know, saying, holy cow, I'm 7 under in the last, you know, 7 holes. You're just thinking about the next one. And usually when your swing's feeling great and the hole looks like a bucket, you know, you kind of get up and you keep playing each shot for what it is. And when you're swinging it really well, obviously he was, I don't know what it's like to shoot 1400, obviously, but when you're in there, you know, you just keep making good shots. And when you're as good as Joel, you know, those good shots are great shots. And it, I'm sure it felt quite easy, you know, for most of the round, but to be able to get to like, what's so cool is he got to 12 under, which he now needs a birdie on 18 to shoot 59, which anyone would be nervous. And he makes an eagle and shoots 58. So that just tells you a lot about the guy, about the character. But yeah, getting there, like I said, I've never been there. So that's tougher, I think, just about anybody to understand, maybe minus Steven Yeager and Jim Furyk. I mean, that stuff's
yeah, Ryo Ishikawa, I think. And there was somebody European tour, Martin Keimer, maybe was somebody
that's uncharted territories.
I think was it who did it in a US Open qualifier? Was it Shingo?
Tiger.
No,
that's
no.
Usually a safe bet.
No, it wasn't Tiger. Tiger apparently, I think Tiger broke 60. The famous story was he broke 60 at his course in Florida before he won the Iowa Masters.
Iowa is like the hardest golf course on this planet.
Yeah, but I got to look it up. I feel like it was like Shingo might have done it. Shot 58. And I know Phil, you know, when
Phil's
they used to
done
have
it
the,
at Plantation. Of course, I play in Palm Springs. And I think he's also shot 59 there. So that's absurd.
But I think Phil had a putt for 58 in that, what do they call it? The Grand Slam of golf. Is that what it was?
Okay.
When they play, when all the major winners would play. He had like a short putt on the last hole for 58. And I hesitate to say he honked it because he shot 59, but he didn't convert that putt
right.
For 58. But yeah, that's uncharted territory. That is for sure. I'm looking this up right now. 58 US Open qualifier. This is good radio. And I got it because this is driving me nuts. 58 marks. Shigeki did it. Shigeki did.
Oh, Mariama. We're playing. I'm playing there Tuesday, and we're gonna play a game where we're gonna say have to point out at what point in the round we've hit our 58th golf shot. So that'll be an interesting.
I'll be interested.
Humbling number.
Can you post that on your Instagram?
Yeah,
say
well,
I'm on
I really
16
need this
fairway
to be like
or whatever.
Past 16. Yeah,
that's what I was hoping for. I had another golf question for you. Just as I've been kind of watching random golf events, CBS Sports Network did a great job. They've been putting up super random final rounds of PGA Tour events. Saturday was the 99 Memorial they had on, and it was Tiger and Vijay were in the final group. Now, Tiger, the first 6 holes, he hit 2 full swing flop shots. And, you know, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. They're the full swing ones that have club head speed that would be the same if he was trying to hit a 3-wood 300 yards. I feel like those have gone away a little bit. Why is it? Is it the ball? Is it the grooves? Why do we not see the guys taking the full extension, hack as hard as you can, flop shot approach anymore? Because I feel like you guys do it a little different now.
Well, not to brag, I tried that. I tried that at Bay Hill, and it just didn't work.
Is there video of that or no?
No, I tried to take out the guy videoing it. It didn't
work. Perfect.
I don't know that it's not, I don't think it's anything to do with like the golf ball or the golf course or whatever. I think that a lot of it just has to do with the calculation of the
low percentage.
Yeah, the low percentage, the risk involved. You don't want to go to jail, as I almost did. But I mean, I hit it quite often, if I'm being honest. I just think you don't see it a lot because I would assume that most people that are in the lead aren't short-sighting themselves crazy often. People like Tiger and Phil are the types of people who will hit it in that spot that you have to play that shot. They'll do it and then they'll get over the shot and know because they're so good that they can pull it off even in the you know, tough spot. If you're up 2, sometimes you want to kind of mini bail. I also think that a lot of those shots, I just think that maybe the quality of that shot hasn't been as good in the right moments, because, you know, I'll see a lot of people try to pull off the full flop shot and then, you know, hit it 20 feet by. That's obviously not going to make a highlight reel. Tiger and Phil are two of the best ever at it. Maybe the two best ever at it. Obviously Phil has made it a staple of his game. Tiger's had some unbelievable ones. So, I just think that theirs makes a lot more, more highlights, because they hold them out.
and what you and I've talked about is they're on TV more, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're on TV. You have a higher percentage chance of seeing it.
This was Sunday. This was the final round. But I mean, if this was Thursday, they would have shown it. I mean,
it's pretty wild how often they pull it off too.
I mean, these two shots, he hit one on the par five. He was short sided. He hit it to about 2 feet. And the one I posted, the one, if you go to my Twitter at Shane Bacon,
that was wild.
He was over the green on six, water now long of the green, and he pulls it off again. He hits it to like 4 feet. It was unbelievable.
But if you think about, like, the one of my favorites is at Memorial on 16 when he was playing with Ricky. He was chasing, you know, I think it was going to be like one of his, that was the year 2013, I think, when he got back to world number one. And that shot behind that green, I mean, it's a dicey shot. You hit it a little too hard and it will either run into the water close to it. And I would say that a lot of people wouldn't probably play that shot. They would play it to have maybe 8 feet. And of course, Tiger's Tiger, and guy gets up there and is thinking about making the flop shot. So that might play a little part in it. I would like to say I'd have the guts to do it. I don't know, man. I haven't really had to do that yet. I would love to be in that position. But yeah, Tiger and Phil, they have a lot of confidence, obviously, in what they're doing, because they pull it off more often than not.
And to be fair, I mean, even in 1999, for goodness sakes, you know, Tiger was already established. He already won a major championship and was about to win another one. Second and third don't really matter to these guys. You know, when you're made $1 billion in your career and you've won everything, I mean, if you don't win, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, winning is all, like, it's the whole point.
For a journey, and I don't think you're a journeyman, because you're not, you know, I feel like you're too young to be a journeyman. But, you know, you've been on tour, you've been on Korn Ferry, you know, you've kind of seen it all, if you will. Do you feel like that really is a thing, where guys that are in the final group or in the penultimate group, or, you know, they're around the lead on a Saturday and Sunday, they've got a shot on 18, they're two back, it's a par five, it's a super risky shot, maybe they've got a hanging lie or something that's not totally comfortable between clubs, whatever. Is there ever a moment, do you think, for certain guys where they go, you know, if I make six here, it's a lot of money, it's a lot of FedEx Cup points, it's a lot of the things that help make my career, you know, extend, if you will. Does that play into it? And maybe not a two-shot lead. Let's say you're three back, where you can't win the golf tournament, right? But you can make eagle and finish one back. Do you feel like those things play into guys' heads at all, or no?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. I've referenced this before, I think, on this podcast. 18 at Torrey, I thought, you know, ever since I turned pro, 18 at Torrey, if I'm tied with Phil, let's say, and we're both hitting over the water in two, and let's just say I had never won before, or I guess it's early in the year, but, you know, the money is important. The FedEx Cup's important. Like, I haven't made, you know, tour championship before. You want to, like, move your way. Maybe you haven't locked up your card. I'd like to say I would be the same golfer that, you know, is trying just to win, or not just to win, but I'm going to try to play the correct shot to put myself in a position to win. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it sneaks into your head. I mean, your mindset might be in a slightly different place than Tiger's, who it really would be disappointing if he doesn't win, where second, third, fourth for me is still, you know, I'm not saying that I'm just saying I'd be happier with it than he would be, you know, just in like relatively. So hard to say. I know that a lot of guys still try to pull it off. You still want to, you know, we grew up watching these guys pull off some of the coolest shots ever to win golf tournaments. So it's still in our head to do that, but it's hard to say. You know, fortunately I haven't been in a position like that, but I would think that, especially depending upon what time of year it is, let's just say it's like the third to last tournament, you haven't locked up your card yet, and you, let's just say, you know, a double would put you into 10th and you need a top seven. I mean, I would imagine you're thinking about it, where whether you try to hit the shot or not, that's a little added pressure, where Phil, Tiger, the you know, the biggest guys out there, Rory, Dustin, Brooks, like, it's a lot more, I'm not going to say free will, but that thought has not even crept into their mind yet. So it's just a little less. Yeah.
There's not a question of are we going to go for this?
Right, I mean, right, right.
That's not even a discussion. You know, I mean, you're not laying up and trying to make four. I mean, if three gets you in a playoff, you're going for that.
Sure.
If again, it's what I say about legacy in general for any athlete. You know, when you get to a certain level, what is important to you is your legacy. It's not as much about the current moment. You know, for Tiger, now winning PGA Tour events is big because he's trying to become the all-time PGA Tour winner, right? Most PGA Tour wins in the world. For somebody like Phil, winning PGA Tour events is his goal. When he tees it up every week, he's trying to win. But for Phil, it's a little bit different because I feel like winning, you know, if he wins the Desert Classic, you know, if he wins the Waste Management, it's a PGA Tour win and it's one more on his career. But for me, at this point in Phil's career, really what's going to change the way we look at his legacy is another major, right?
Yeah.
And it's a little bit different. It really is like LeBron making the playoffs doesn't matter, right? LeBron's team being the one seed doesn't matter. Making the conference finals doesn't matter. It's all going to be about if your team can win another championship so you can add to the legacy that you've already built.
Yeah, you have to think that it just helps in anything you do to have a singular focus. And I would say a lot of us do have the singular focus when you start the week of winning. But yeah, you get in the mix. I think Torrey Pines this year, I tied Tiger. I think we both got ninth. And mine was a little different. I came from behind and had a great Sunday, but he must have been considerably more disappointed than I was in my finish. So in our finish, I mean, so like, I just think it helps to have one thought, like win or go home. Like it doesn't matter. Where I would say 99% of everybody else, maybe 90% of everybody else does have a little inkling in their head of, hey, not saying that second's not so bad, but it's not, there's no worry. There's some worry about like losing out on money or FedEx Cup points or, you know, progress
in your career.
You want to progress through the season. You want to be in a position where I think, you know, the top few players in the world know they're going to be there anyways. Maybe they've already had wins throughout the year. So it's just about winning and really catapulting yourself into an upper echelon of status on tour, especially in like the public eye where, yeah, I guess, I mean, a little bit, you know, I could walk off a week a little bit differently. And I just don't think that helps your mentality to think that, but I think it's a pretty natural thing, especially when you're early in your career and you haven't had all the success that some of these guys have.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. I feel like you've been kind of ramping up practice and prep. I mean, every time I feel like I'm texting you and you seem like you're kind of out on the range. Is that, do you feel like that's kind of where most of these guys are right now? Is, you know, we kind of went through 4 or 5 weeks, a little uncertainty, not really knowing what's going on. But it seems like over the last 10 days, I feel like you've kind of switched on a little bit, getting kind of prepped and ready to go.
Yeah, we played, you know, you and I have been playing a lot of golf before, but I figured that, and I think 2 weeks ago, I decided I was going to really get into like being ready, like working as hard as I can, really prepping for the season to come back. Not so much just playing and being out there, which I enjoy doing, but really, you know, working at it, working on the stuff that hasn't been great. So yeah, I've been doing that. Everyone's seen Rory been practicing a little bit more now. Dustin's been out there, seen videos of JT, Ricky, all the guys. So I do think that people are getting back into it. Around here, it's been quite busy, because, you know, we have had a lot of, mini tour stuff going on, the Outlaw Tour, the Scottsdale Open is this week. So a lot of guys getting back into it, you know, full bore, it seems like. But yeah, it seems like about that time, we're about a month out. So, you know, got to get sharp. Everyone's, you know, a little different in how they do it, but yeah, I wanted to make sure that I took this last month and a half or so and like put in as much work as I can just to be as ready as possible. Hopefully if we do go out. But yeah, I mean, you gotta pick a time at some point. So I think everyone's starting to see, like, I think they're probably a little bit bored and they're also, you know, not panicked, but like, I got to get my stuff in gear. I've ridden enough Peloton. I got to start actually hitting some chips and some butts.
Yeah, no Scottsdale Open for you. You Freddie coupled it late registration. I was expecting to see your name on the sheet.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. I mean, sorry to the tournament, but yeah, I didn't know that like this was going to be a big deal. I'm sure, you know, usually it's not as highly touted. I'm sure the Joel Damons and the Kevin Stromans and the Nate Lashleys of the world aren't always playing this event just because of where it is in the schedule. But yeah, didn't know we were going to get this awesome field. I kind of wish I would have signed up to play. But you know, Joel coming off of 58, I'm trying not to lose to him by that many right off the bat. I need some sort of, I mean, he has all the bragging rights minus like one event. So I'd like some bragging rights. So I'm going to hold on to that. So maybe I'm a little lucky, but yeah, would have loved to play. My game's actually really, really nice right now. Would have been fun to play at a golf tournament, but at the same time, it's not like I planned or needed to play an event. But it looks like it's going to be cool. I think it's awesome how much notoriety it's getting, because mini tour stuff is fun, especially when you get the, you know, the top 70 ranked players in the world or top 100 ranked players in the world. We got a handful of those or a few of those. So that's really cool. It'll be fun to watch and follow along for sure.
Yeah. Talking Stick, not a golf course that I had a lot of mini tour successes at. Max, that was the one I'd always play. If I had a good week, I'd play well the first round and be at some random golf course in Phoenix. And the second round would always be on the north course at Talking Stick. I always called it my death march, because every time I was out there, I always would be like three or four over with three or four holes to go. And I just could never, ever figure that golf course out. So very happy that I didn't just blindly sign up for this thing, thinking it was going to be a whole bunch of non-PGA Tour players and then go out there and get beat by 50 by Mr. 58 or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I know media guys are coming out to cover this thing.
Oh, really? That's yeah. Good. I mean, that's good. That they should. This is live, real golf with some legitimately great players. And you're going to get to see some up and coming guys, you know, buck their head and show how good they are, how deep golf is. You know, that's what's been fun about following the Monday Q guy on Twitter, is you get to see
great follow.
Many, yeah, great follow. You get to see, you know, I've got a buddy that went to college at Cal, younger than me, KK Limbisu, and he, you know, he's been playing great. He's going to play in the Scottsdale Open. So it's a good prep for him. You know, something I've always said that's very important for my career, and I think a lot of people would benefit from it, is playing against people who are at the top level, because I think first off, it's not nearly as good as you think it is, but you're also going to learn quite a bit about what you can get better at. You need to play against those people. I was fortunate to have Jason Gore growing up to show me kind of the ropes and let me see just, you know, firsthand, but just with my eyes, like what I needed to do to get better, but also just to take a little bit of the fear factor out of it. So it's good for them. And you're going to see a lot of them play great that, you know, names obviously you haven't heard of before either, because they've been maybe more of a journeyman, or maybe they just haven't, you know, had the opportunity to play on the Korn Ferry Tour yet or the PGA Tour. So that'll be good. I think it'll be cool that the media is showing it some love, because there's going to be a lot of names that you're going to end up seeing in the future, and this will be a nice first glimpse at them.
A case of the golf one is the Monday Q yes. Twitter handle. So follow that guy. Great. Yeah, great awesome. Follow. Always good information. Hits a double with every tweet. That's all we're looking for. We just want a double. Get on base. You know, I mean, that's the hope for social media in general. I had a question for you that a listener brought up, and I thought it was a great question. Ian Davis sent me a message and said, why don't you ask Max, what is this? A side meal, so an appetizer or a side you get at dinner, or is this a main meal? This is like what you order. This is what I'm ordering for dinner, okay?
Okay.
Because I think what he was hinting at is, I feel like the lines have been a little bit blurred lately, right? I mean, some of the stuff that was always an app now has kind of crept into entree status. Do you agree?
Like what? Like, give me an example.
All right, here we go. I'm going to start with the first one. All right, here we go. Is this a side or is this a main dish? You ready?
All right, I'm ready. I love the food topics. I love
mac
food.
And cheese. Mac and cheese.
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't love that it's a side because I don't eat mac and cheese, but it's such a heavy filling thing, and I know people will eat it for dinner. So I would say it's an entree, but these fancy places have this like mac and cheese side for like $26. And you're like, yeah, that's like three Chipotle meals. Like this has to be a full entree. So I'm going to go entree for that one. People that's the American thing, to make like, you know, the entree, the appetizer, just so you could stuff more food in your face.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the best part about apps, I think, is that it's basically like a half entree. The Vig, which is a popular restaurant bar in the Phoenix area, there's a few of them, had a, for a while, I'm not sure if they still do, they had a chorizo mac and cheese.
Ooh.
And dude, it had to have been 37,000 calories.
Oh yeah.
But my goodness, if you had a few pops in you, you had a fun Sunday and it was about 4:30 or 5. I don't believe it sat under the app header. I think it was in
it's
the
too
main
heavy
dish.
To be a big bowl appetizer. Too. Yeah.
You know, I mean, this was like a serious meaty bowl, but mac and cheese with chorizo. All right, so my next one to you. These are some I created, some I got from some other people. Wings, a food I love, a food you used to love until you stopped eating.
I'm back, meat. Baby. I love.
Well, I know
wings.
You're back, but you're going to go back away from it soon. Yeah. Where do wings fit for you?
I think it's an app. Unless you go to a, you know, when you're in Memphis, there's places that are like, you know, barbecue and they're known for their wings. Like then you're just going to get a ton of wings. But wings are an app to me. They're probably my favorite app. I love wings, but it's a circumstantial thing. You go to Buffalo Wild Wings and, you know, it's a meal, obviously. But in most
it's
places.
It's in the name.
It's in the name. So most places, I would say it is an app, especially because you can usually, you know, you only have to get six to get your fix in. So I'm going to go app for wings in probably 90% of situations.
Unpopular opinion for people that would like to overeat more than not. I love the 10 wing order. I'm glad I like when there's 10 wings and not a dozen, because I feel like 10 wings you can order for yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I 12. Order 12 for myself and just crush it.
JT's.
I feel terrible about it.
JT's.
Yeah, that's the best wing in the world.
It's the best wing in the state of Arizona. 10 wings, get the works, always good to go. I think I agree with your mac and cheese. I think I'm not agreeing with wings. I feel like I would, if I was going to put wings somewhere, it'd be entree. I feel like I eat wings more as an entree than I do as an app.
Yeah, well, I guess the point is I'm, you know, out here in Arizona, I don't think I would go to many places where I would order wings for a meal, except maybe JT's. Whereas if I'm in the South or somewhere where like the wings are, you know, more of a staple, I'm going to go just to eat wings. So I guess it's a 50-50 thing. I think that almost all the time, mac and cheese should be an entree. Like I would say pretty much every time. Whereas wings is definitely, I'm leaning way more on app just from where I live. But if I love wings, I'll go and just eat it as a meal. So I thought maybe that was more just like a personal thing.
So here's one that I feel like I need you to take a beat before you answer. Cause I think the answer, your instantaneous answer is going to be one way, but I think you'll change it if you give yourself a moment. Okay. Sliders.
I'm going to take your beat for a second.
Okay.
Beets. We should talk about that one. Sliders. I mean, beets. I think sliders should be a meal. I see it on apps. I almost never get it as an app because, to your point, like it's a meal. Like then I'm not going to be full for whatever my meal is and I'm not going to want it. I know like Lacey will order sliders as her meal. It's like a cookie. It's just because it's a mini version of it doesn't mean that it's not just as much as the burger. I also
and you're not
know
getting
if
one.
At, yeah. You're, no, you get three or four every time. That one's a meal, but it just depends. If you're starving, I guess you could get it as a, but if you're getting that as an app, you're getting something like lighter as a meal. There's no way you're going to just like dive into something heavy right after that. So I don't know that one's got to be more meal.
You're not going sliders and then full burger.
Yeah,
you're
that
me?
Would be a psycho move. but that's a good one because I think that's to this question's point, that's where these lines have gotten blurred. Like, you know, Jim Gaffigan always like used to do this joke in his stand-up, or he might still do it, where he would talk about how, you know, the American restaurant stuff where it's like, you know, what's an appetizer? Oh, that's the meal we eat before we eat our meal. And it's just like, what's dessert? That's the meal after we eat our meal. It's like the sliders is like, oh, this is the hamburgers I eat before I eat my hamburger. It's like, this is kind of stupid at this point.
So I will say one thing is when the sliders are presented in orders of three, I feel like that should just eliminate three from the menu.
It should be four so you could eat it as a meal.
Well, and if you have three, if there's three sliders, it's an entree. If it's four sliders, it's an app to me. Because four sliders,
you can split. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
At three, you have to cut it. That
or you have to have
awful.
Three friends. You have to
and everybody
have
gets
two friends,
one.
Three of you. Yeah.
Then yeah, and you don't want to just have one as an app. You want to have two sliders in your meal.
Yeah, it's true.
To your Gaffigan point.
It's true. Yeah. You don't want to eat a whole meal before your whole meal. Just a half a meal. So then you could add another half when you're done. Then you have two full meals. That's nice, you know, round numbers we're talking now.
You're not are you a Arrested Development guy or not?
No, man. I should be. The humor is right up my alley. I know. I watched it when it first came out and then stopped. I don't know why. Long time ago.
Yeah, there's a grill they make fun of in a couple of episodes. It's like this American grill in this fake British colony in the United States. And they bring you a bucket of something before you even ask for a menu. You know, it's one of those things. It might be a bucket of donuts, and then they they give you these to go bag. It's basically the same thing Gaffigan's talking about, where we just simply, if we are kings of anything as Americans, we are kings of overeating. I've just got a couple of more. I feel like I know where you're going to go, but it's fine. Nachos with protein on them. So chicken nachos, beef nachos. Where are you at?
Yeah, we would. I mean, at the bar we used to frequent quite often when I was living in Long Beach, Riley's, we would just eat their nachos for the meal because it had all the meats on it. It was heavy. Again, I think if you're doing that, you're not going to eat a full course after. So I would call it an entree. But, you know, if you're doing that, you're more than likely at a bar. If you're getting the bit, you know, the big nacho platter.
Right.
So you're more than likely either going to be there for 4 hours. So it's hard. Then the lines get blurred of, did I eat a meal or am I just eating apps the whole time? But yeah, I mean, that's gotta be a meal. I've never eaten that by myself. So, it's borderline impossible to finish by yourself. So if we're talking about a person goes to dinner or lunch, and they order that for themselves, that has to be an entree. Like
their entree.
You can't eat more than that.
Nachos are shared as an app. And if you have it just for you, if you're at a bar by yourself and you order nachos, you're not ordering anything else.
Yes.
And that's what you're having.
I'm looking at this as like, I go to a restaurant by myself. I order this. Is it an entree or an appetizer? That would 100% be an entree.
So you're on the road. You're on the road for a golf tournament and you go to dinner by yourself and you sit at the bar. Are you an app entree, like side salad guy, or are you just getting one meal and you're done?
I mean,
depends on the day.
Depends on how hungry I am. I'm usually quite hungry after the round. So yes, I am all the above. I won't eat dessert usually, which is like again, this is just like a comical joke at this point, but it's because I'll like eat so much before that I won't be hungry for dessert. And I'm like, okay, good. I stayed healthy today. Obviously didn't, but like, that's how I trigger. So I ate wings for the app. I also got a salad, which is nice. Side salad. So I'm getting
super healthy.
And then I got my meal. So of course I'm not going to eat ice cream after. No, I don't. No, sir. I don't want dessert. It's all right. I know it's only a little bit extra. I don't want the dessert because I'm trying to be healthy here. And he's like rolling his eyes. Like, you got a soda and wings to start your meal. But yeah, so I'm usually the app to the side salad, to the meal type person.
I love when you get the side salad and for some reason in our brains, we think that no matter what else we got,
oh no, we're healthy.
The meal's been healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like the greens eat the fatty stuff internally inside your body, but
no, they
I
do.
Have that in my head too. I think the same thing.
I love, cause then someone's like, what'd you eat for dinner? I was like, well, I had a salad. I'm going to lead with that. I had a salad. Then I had sliders and then I ate a burger, but I had a salad. Like you gotta show everybody.
It was a real small salad. But,
yeah.
I mean, and I didn't eat all of it, but I mean, it was there and I had them keep it. When my entree,
there's always like that awkward part where you're like eating the salad, the side salad comes out first, and then like you're not quite finished yet. And then they bring out your real meal, and you want to look like you're going to finish the healthy part, but you're slowly sliding it away so you can like eat the unhealthy part, which is the actual like whatever you got, a burger or something. And you're like, I want to look like I really cared about my health, but I needed to fill my body with something while I waited for the good stuff to come.
This is a big my wife thing is big on the like I don't even think she needs to eat the greens. I feel like she needs to see them on our table. You know, okay. It's like we've got to get asparagus and it can just be a part of our table.
Yeah.
It's like a pull a chair up for the asparagus.
I love asparagus. The worst part about asparagus is for whatever reason, I will often have asparagus. It seems like, and then I have to go to the bars, and everyone knows when you go to the bars, you got to go to the restaurant a lot because you're probably drinking some beers or whatever. And then you got to, you know, go to the restroom. And now you're the guy at the stall who is stanking up the entire bathroom.
I don't know what it is, dude, but I've never picked up the asparagus pea thing.
So it's a genetic thing. So
is that true?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
I would say that you are definitely in the minority, but that's a pretty cool superpower you've got. Because now you can eat all the asparagus you want.
Should I put that on my Twitter profile?
But you should put it. Do you have a LinkedIn? You should put it in your LinkedIn.
That is what I should do. That's right. Fox Sports, co-host of Get a Grip, Regrift on YouTube. Asparagus doesn't affect my pee. Welcome to my life. That's who I am. 2020.
Congratulations.
Happy Mother's Day.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a question for us to discuss, and it's something I brought up to you last week, but we didn't get into it because, you know, you were amazing last week. I thought
thanks, man.
It was one of my favorite podcasts that we've done. So you and I have been playing some recreational golf. You know, I mean, recreational is in like a little money games or, you know, you and I go play for $5, whatever. What's the perfect time, in your opinion, to arrive to a golf course for a non-tournament round? Now, before you answer, Max, I want you to let us know the time you arrived to the golf course for a tournament round, because I feel like it's elongated a bit over the last few years for professionals. But I want to just debate on the perfect time to arrive for a non-tournament round, but start with how much time you give yourself when you go to a tournament.
When I go to a tournament, it's pretty close to like 2 hours. Just because
it's crazy.
I'm going to, I eat there for the most part, and then I have to let it settle.
Sliders?
And then I might need to use the restroom. Never sliders. A little salad makes me think I'm going to have all this like, you know, positive energy. I might need to use a restroom. Then I'll stretch. So I'm usually getting to the range an hour ish, maybe a shade more than an hour. But I would say I'm never really at the golf course more than 2 hours before, because I don't get stretched out. You know, a lot of these guys get stretched out by a physical therapist or something like that. So I don't do that. But I'm never north of 2 hours. But I was thinking about this a lot when you presented this idea. If you're just going to go for a fun round, I think there's two schools of thought. I think if you're somebody who can roll to the tee and just be ready, it's good to get there like 5 minutes before, because I think it is an intimidating aspect. If you can somehow roll to the tee, your friends have been there for, let's just say, 20 minutes, banging balls, trying to find something. You walk to the tee and you stripe it down one. I feel like you're immediately in someone's head. Like, this guy's just better than me, maybe. Like, I don't know. Like, it just starts to creep in the back of your mind, whether he is or isn't. But I like the 25 minutes. It gives you time to hit enough balls to warm up, but not enough to start tinkering with your golf swing. Then you can walk over and whack like 8 putts and then be on the tee, and it all happened really quick. You kind of get a feel for what you're going to have, but you don't, if you're there 45 minutes before, I mean, you start thinking, okay, well, how do I draw, you know, then now you're working on your golf swing. Worst thing you can do, especially if you're just out for a fun round, especially if you're not a professional golfer who is actually just trying to, you know, get better. You're just trying to go have a fun day, maybe win some money off your boy. So, you've mentioned a great point, is you just want to see your driver falling left. So you need to go hit enough balls to watch that happen. But not too many where now you're going to figure out, you know, how to make it fall perfectly the amount left, when now you're going to be on the golf course working on something. So that's my take. But if I could ever, I'm not that person. I used to be when I was younger, but I am always jealous and a little intimidated of the guy who can walk straight to the tee and bomb it like 300 yards dead down the middle. And I'm like, all right, man, I might be in for a long day here.
Yeah. Do you stretch at home? Like, what are you doing here? Like,
what are you doing, man?
Were you in a jacuzzi on the way here? Do you have one in the back of your car? I mean, yeah. I don't understand how you're this loose. Before I tell you my answer, is there someone on tour that is known to arrive like the earliest? I mean, gets there way early before their tee time. And is there somebody that kind of casually walks up, hits a couple of putts and goes? Is that a thing anymore? Or is everybody there, you know, kind of about around the same time?
A lot of people are there, I would say, at a similar, you know, range of time, hour and a half ish, maybe like I said, between that and 2 hours. I know Patrick Cantlay said on the No Laying Up podcast, he has to get there quite early, like 3 hours, just because he has to do a whole thing, you know, for his to get his body moving. I know a lot of the guys do it now. Xander does it. I would say probably honestly 75% of these guys are there really early. So I don't think that any longer there's like an outlier person.
Okay.
the late arrivals, that it's not like often, but I remember we were in Dominican like 2 years ago, maybe last year, and Joel, like, we had, I don't know, this is like the perfect Joel story, but you have to like park somewhere. It's not like, you know, the Dominican Republic tournament isn't, it's not run as strictly or whatever you want to call it, as like as fluidly as like the, you know, Riviera event, you know, it's not a lot of people.
The valet
around.
Took the week off.
So yeah, we like would, you know, the clubhouse is up somewhere. We would drive from breakfast or lunch down to the range. Then you park in a parking lot and then you have to walk, you know, some 200 yards. And one day I don't really get why he didn't just bring the whole bag, but he brought like a hybrid and a putter and a 7-iron or something. And he had to hit driver on the first hole. So he just teed up the hybrid really high. So, I mean, that, I don't know, man. So Joel is in probably in that boat in more in the sense that he can do that. I don't think right. he does do that, but he can. Brooks, like the famous story from last season, and I was there. I remember he was teeing off late and I teed off very early. I think I was in like the first group off, which is last place for those who don't know. And I was leaving the course and Brooks still hadn't been in his parking spot. You know, had the names on it that week yeah. and he hadn't been. I'm like, dang, dude, like the tee time's like 40 minutes. But he had mentioned that he did his whole warm-up and it's really freaking hot in Memphis. It's not like you need an hour to go bang balls. That's the other thing. It's like certain weeks when it's hot or something, like maybe we will go a little later. But Brooks has the ability to do it. Obviously, he is just like kind of as badass as they come. But yeah, no longer do we have the was it Jose Toledo that used to do this? There was somebody, I think
Franco, I think would
Franco.
Do it like
that's
that,
who it was,
right?
He who would like sit on the porch and like smoke a cigarette and then swing just walk straight to the tee. Like, oh, we don't have that anymore, I don't think. But there are guys I know that can do it, and I would put Joel in that camp. Some guys are quick. But Bay Hill was funny this year. It was so freaking cold on Saturday, and we had a very early tee time. I think Xander was around that time. I was playing with Taylor Gooch, so I've got two of my like closest friends, and we're all eating, and our caddies are also good friends, and we were just watching them, walk the normal hour before the round. They walk by the breakfast area, and they're standing on the tee, and we're sitting in there, and we're like, I think I'm gonna wait a little while longer because it's so cold, and then we get out there, and no one's really doing anything. We're just kind of staying warm, and then then all of a sudden somebody has to be like, well, we got to go like hit at some point. And like Taylor to me has the ability. He's like such a naturally like great golfer and athlete that he could kind of stroll to the tee and make it seem quite easy. But I would say more often than not, you don't see it very often.
Yeah. You don't have the police escort rolling up.
Yes.
Like 12 minutes
yeah,
before
yes,
the tee.
Exactly.
That is few and far between exactly. on this PGA Tour. I mean, what I always say is, week to week, a little bit of what we were talking about earlier, 2nd to 10th to 12th to 18th is, the money and how important 1 week can be now.
Yes.
And it's always been 1 week has been important, but I feel like non-winning 1 week can be so important that, I mean, get there 3 hours early if that's what you need to do, To the original question, I'm right there with you, dude. I had 30 minutes written down if it's not your club. So if you've got to go into a pro shop and check in, I'd say half an hour is the perfect amount of time. If it's your club, I think it's 20 to 25 minutes, just what you said, where you enough time to park, go inside, throw your shoes on, hit 12 to 20 balls or whatever, hit some wedges, hit a couple of drivers and you're good, roll some putts and you're on the tee. And I'm with you. I don't think anything more than 30 minutes. I feel like if I show up more than 30 minutes before a
it's
casual
a
round with my
session.
Buddies, yeah. it seems like I'm there too long. My dad used to always tell me, when we'd go to tournaments or you'd go to the range before a round, he'd always say, hey, if you ain't got it now, you ain't going to get it. You're not going to find it on the range here.
For sure.
If that's what you're doing. So we're kind of, listen to that. We agreed. We agreed on a podcast. I think that's not what co-hosts are supposed to do. The last thing I had written down that I wanted to bring up to you, we were talking this week about the guys with the best walks on the PGA Tour. So I challenged you, Max, a guy that walks amongst the legends. Who are the top five swaggiest walks in all of golf? So the guys that have the walk where you're like, that dude knows that he's a badass,
Yeah. So did some thought. I wanted to throw in one flyer in here that was kind of off the beaten path. And I'll start with that at number five. And I got to say, I don't really like this walk. It has been a little overblown, but it is funny. And it's cool because the ball goes in the hole. But I'm going to lead with Kevin Na's early walk
for
when he's going to make a putt. Because I think it is cool. The fact that you could like pimp one into the hole is sweet. I don't love it because I have to see it now. If he does it one time and whatever place.
On every social media platform.
But it is funny. I mean, Tiger did it with him at the Players. But Kevin's been doing it forever since I can remember. Tiger kind of made it a little bit more well known at the Players last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was. So I do like that one. That one's cool because that's swag. I mean, you hit it and it's in. He's an unbelievable putter, so must be nice. I have some honorable mentions, not in any order, like just Tiger's walk in general.
Can I jump in real quick about Na? I just want to ask you, I don't know the answer to this, so I wanted to ask you if you know of this. Have you ever seen him do it and miss? I mean, have you ever seen like a video or anything where?
Never seen the video, no.
Okay, but I'm just wondering if there is if there has been a moment on tour where he's got a six-footer.
It has to be. Right. You can't make them all.
But, you know, he doesn't always do the step, you know?
Yeah. No, but it just, that would be crazy. But he does. Yeah, maybe he hasn't. That'd be a good one to know. I'm sure he's missed a few. He has. Even Tiger's missed some of his, you know, little back pedal about to fist pump in your eyeball and miss. So, but yeah, Tiger's walk, I like, just because it's, I wouldn't say it's, like, the reason I didn't put it on my list, it's not swaggy, but he walks so, like, perfectly, I don't know. He's like, he has like a perfect walk. I know he's like a robot, so I get, makes sense. But like, it feels like, you know, it's like people who talk about, you know, the, his, their feet are sore. They walk like that. Like, he walks so perfectly gently. But his is cool. But obviously anything Tiger does is cool. But I do have on my list number four, bouncing Rory. When Rory's playing good and he gets his head bobbing and you know, he hits the three wood and, you know, it's up by the green and he looks at his caddy and he's kind of, you know, like, he's like almost dancing while they, you're like, oh man, that's pretty cool. So that one's my four. Three.
Max was doing the Rory, by the way. What you guys, I know you guys don't watch.
You can't hear it.
He is doing the Rory as you walk out.
It's surprised. It's infectious. It's infectious.
Rory was high. Rory would have been higher on my list. I'm surprised he's just four.
I'm going to put Gary Woodland at three. Just. The man's chest is so far out. it's a thing of beauty. And then when you get to watch him, when he walks like this all the time. So there's no, I would say Rory's bouncing a lot because he plays well a lot, but I don't think it's always the same kind of, like, he doesn't have the same pop in the bounce all the time. Like, when he's playing well, it starts to really, you know, he's getting a little bit like off a calf the ground. Workout. Yeah, exactly. Gary's is all the time, but then you get to put him like in the lead at the US Open, and then you get to see it. You're like, this is a bad dude. I mean, this guy, yeah, got chest out. I mean, he's obviously one of the most athletic people to have ever played golf, so that adds to it a little bit. You know, he's built really nicely. I think that has a lot to do with these walks, but his is so cool. Two is a very specific one. Well, I wouldn't say very specific. Brooks Koepka's walk is amazing, but I have a very specific story about it. I would say, first off, anytime Brooks is walking at a major, I don't know if it's because we built it up in your head, but you're like, damn, this guy
knows to beat.
He's going to win. So he, you know, he doesn't have a stroll. He has a very, like, kind of like, I don't care enough to give this a lot of effort, but also I know I'm the guy to beat. He has that walk all the time, but I'm just, for some reason in the majors, he really builds it up. And I do have a story on, this is the specific part of this, on, at the PGA last year, on Wednesday or whatever, he came out and kind of did his whole thing about, you know, you only really have to beat like 15 guys at a major right. to win. And I liked what he said, honestly. It does make sense. And this is coming from somebody that he was like ruling me out. And I understand.
He was lumping you in the non-winner.
Yeah, and that's
category.
Fine. I get what he's saying. You have to win one at some point to get yourself out of it. So I get it. But the point was good, but it got blown out of proportion. He kind of, I wouldn't say took heat for it, but people were kind of critical of it. And I, like I said, I liked it. So I was about to go play, I think. Yeah, I was about to go play and I was on the putting green. And I think I'd mentioned this on this podcast before, but Joe and I, when we played the practice rounds, we thought that if anybody got to 10 under for the week, they would win the tournament easily. And I don't remember what Brooks shot the first day, but it was 6 or 7 under. And I'm on the putting green and he comes walking up and I see him. And I'm like, good God, because the number's already posted. And you're like, holy cow, man, like that's tremendous. And everyone looks at him kind of just in awe. He hasn't lost like a major, it felt like, at that point either. And he had said these things and he backed it up, which is like the coolest thing you could do. And Claude Harmon, his coach, he's about to pass him and Claude puts his hand out for a high five and they connected with the coolest high five. The thing, like, you could have heard it on any hole at Bethpage. Like, it was so loud and he high five kept walking and it was just cool. And I felt like I was kind of like in his line where he was walking to the scoring tent. And I really felt like I needed to move like 30 feet. Cause I didn't want to get like caught in like whatever vortex he was bringing in. So that was like one of the coolest walks I've ever seen. Like, I'd imagine it's a lot of what people would feel about like Tiger back in the day when he would walk across the green after a great round. And you're looking at him like, yeah, man, you're kind of on a different planet than us at this exact moment. So that was as cool as it gets. He always has a cool walk, but that walk it seared in my brain. It kind of was a very intimidating feeling, and I didn't even hit a shot yet.
Well, we're talking, you know, swag in golf, which is probably a term that wasn't used a whole bunch, you know, 25 years ago. I mean, there were guys that were super swaggy on the PGA Tour, but I feel like you've got a lot of confidence oozing out of
for
the best
sure.
players in the world right now. Nothing in the last 5 years can level up to what Koepka did.
Correct.
Says those comments and then wins that week.
Yeah, and wins it. I mean, up until like the last nine holes, he it wasn't even a contest.
Running away.
I mean, he hit like that 10 under number on like the 23rd hole of the event. And Joe and I are looking at each other. I thought I was playing pretty well. I'm like one under. And I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, we were way off. But it's only one guy. But
is he playing the red?
Yeah. I mean, goodness.
Like, did they not let him play the black one?
But number one, and this is like, you know, my little golf crush or whatever, but Dustin Johnson's walk. It's just like, because it's not a walk, it's a saunter. He looks like he could be a John Wayne in a country movie or in a country western movie. He has like this combo of I don't care, but also I know I'm cool, and also I know I'm gonna win, and also this is exactly how I play golf. Like, there's no effort involved in his walk. Like, it's just like, this is just what I do. I walk around and it's just, this is all very easy to me. The way I walk is easy. It's not like he's puffing his chest out. It's not like he's like, I wouldn't even say he's oozing confidence, but his walk is just cooler than everybody else's. Like, he's a very built dude. He's humongous. Like, he's got the long legs, long arms. Like, he's in great shape. And just like, it's just a stroll. It looks very like
floaty.
Yeah, it's very floaty. It's like this like ultimate control. And then like he's the, you know, one of the few guys, kind of like a Rory and a Brooks, where they could just like, they'll walk to the tee, grab a club, take half a practice swing, and then smoke it down the fairway. And the way they walked into the shot, even, you're just like, man, this just looks easier for you guys. Just the way you approach this whole, like, this whole process of playing a round of golf and the way you walk through it. I don't know. His is sick. I love his.
It's not easy to look really cool walking when you're real tall. You know, it's a lot easier to look awkward when you're tall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Slender guys can look kind of uncomfortable when they do stuff because you're, you know, you're 6'5", 6'7", 6'9", and he is the complete opposite of awkward. I mean, everything he does.
Everything he does is cool, man.
The hat, the outfit. I mean, he wears the all gray.
All gray, all blue, all whatever.
It would not look good on a lot of people.
Yeah.
The monochromatic look looks good on him. You know what I'm saying?
Not quite the yellow Sergio.
I thought, man, the banana 2 days outfit. In a row.
I was thinking about it. I really liked it, man. If you're going to come out and try to play Tiger on Sunday, like, give him something to look at.
He looked like he blended into Hoylake. You know, it was like browned out in his outfit. It, like, if you had a long lensed camera, it'd have been hard to pick
you
him
out.
You
know how sometimes you'll like wear something and like your wife or you know, somebody will be like, man, that shirt really brings out your eyes. His was like, man, this grass really brings out your outfit. It's really popping off this.
When's the last time you watered your pants?
Yeah.
Because they need a little bit of water, if you will. A really embarrassing moment in my life was at your wedding. You know, you and your groomsmen had these.
Oh, awesome, you had the same
navy suits on with brown shoes. I show up in a navy suit with brown shoes, like right when I walk in, I'm like, oh god.
That's like the Office episode where Michael shows up looking like the people who are serving the food, the hors d'oeuvres. He had to change shirts with Dwight. That's the best.
Shouldn't have worn this damn tie. Luckily, I think my tie was very different than what you guys had. But you know, you never want to do that. You never want to show up to something and accidentally match. You know, you always want the matching to work.
It's easier on the women's side, because no woman's going to show up to the wedding in a white dress. So you're usually pretty safe there.
Normally, anybody that's going to show up in a white dress is the person you didn't invite in the first place.
Yes. Also,
you know, it's like, do we invite the wacky aunt's wacky friend? You're like, nah, leave the friend
at
home.
It's not white, it's cream.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Did anybody make your cutting, like the cutting room floor, guys that you almost put in there?
I mean, I don't think this guy's got a like outstanding walk by any means, but just like everything Adam Scott does is pretty cool. So like, it's just cool. You know, I don't know. It was hard to separate the walk from just being cool, I guess, in this. So a lot of these guys, you know, are just like cooler than everybody. I know Kevin Chappell has one of my favorite walks because he bobs his head a lot. Like, it's like he's walking kind of head first. And because I have a terrible walk. I walk too upright and my feet drag. So I've always been jealous of people who can kind of get angled forward and start like moving that direction. So he kind of does the opposite of me. So it's I don't think it's like a cool walk, but it's like I like the way he walks.
Unique.
Yeah, it's unique walk. But for the most part, those guys I think kind of are the no-brainer people to put on the list. But yeah, I mean, walking is what we do a lot. You better not be terrible at it like I am, because then it gets kind of embarrassing.
Do you make the FedEx Cup first round of the FedEx Cup playoffs if it was all based on walking?
No, I'm 2017 max, two cuts wow. made, 18 grand. I mean, I drag my feet. I have
you do like, walk Aaron, fast. That's Aaron the only thing I've ever
I
noticed.
I walk too fast. Aaron Rodgers pointed out that one of my ankles goes too far in. He's worried about my knees when I get older. Now I'm really like, I'm a little nervous about that. Like, I got all kinds of stuff going wrong, man. But I do think that once I get over the ball, it all looks pretty good. So
wait, did he call you out during the tournament?
Yeah, like I think it was on Saturday, and then I was standing there, and I remember I went into my room, I looked at Lacey, I was like, hey, what's wrong with my ankles again?
Is
and
my
like,
ankle
his
good
caddy or? Was joking with me, and I still don't really know. But you know, Aaron Rodgers is like a specimen, so I mean, he knows what it's supposed to look like, and mine obviously is not. But again, fortunately, I play a sport where it doesn't matter so much. The golf swing is still pretty. So
yeah, that's something that could mess with you. I mean, there's an old Rick Riley book where I think there's a match at the end of the book, and one of the guys pointed out, you know, do you ever watch your shadow?
Oh,
your backswing.
Yeah. I've always watched mine, so I've gotten past that. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, he was like, that was in his mind. The rest of the guy was done.
Well, I used to like come over that when I was young. I used to have this very inside, it's like something I still deal with, but it's obviously a lot better now. But I used to deal with a very inside takeaway and then an over the top move. And before I had ever seen a video of my golf swing, I never ever thought about it. You know, everyone thinks in their head that their golf swing looks like Louis Oosthuizen, Tiger, Adam Scott. So we all just like have this feeling because that's what it feels like. It's very simple in your head. And I saw a video of it one day. I'm like, holy cow, this is bad. Like, it's very flat and then up and over. And then for like a couple of years, when I would have a shot with a shadow right in front of me, I could see how much it would come over the top, and I like couldn't hit with a shadow. I'm like, oh my God, this is like completely throwing me off. But there's some people who have never even noticed it. I fortunately like have gotten way over it, you know, since then, because I got to approach this at a young age, you know, proper preparation. So but yeah, that's one. You know, the other common one is do you breathe in or do you breathe out when you hit a golf ball? And that throws people off a lot.
We as non-professional golfers struggle with everything anyway.
Everything. We're crazy.
Think about the negative stuff, and now you're bringing in all crazy. This other stuff that doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
We were talking as we're kind of winding down. We're thinking about doing another episode this week with just questions.
Just
Are you
questions.
In on that?
Yeah, I could be in on that, man.
What do we need to do to convince you?
I don't know. Just sending questions, probably.
Okay, perfect. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
You can send
me a
question.
Feel Good Friday, Shane.
Oh, let's go.
So my buddy Worm works for a hair product company. I'm going to...
Worm?
Worm, yeah. Chris Wormy. Okay. Ooh, my dog's about to bark.
Say his name again?
There she is.
Nice. What was that? What's the point? How do you know?
I could see the Amazon guy walking up to the front door.
Nice.
So yeah, my buddy Chris Wormy, whatever, but I call him Worm. He works for a hair product company called Atlas. And he was telling me yesterday that they're doing a pretty cool thing. He said they're providing salons and barbershops like a product stimulus. So they're essentially giving them free inventory of their product to sell and make some cash right away and help them get back on their feet. So I thought that was cool because they're a startup company. I thought that was cool. So check them out. Atlas, what is their other shameless plug? Oh, at Atlas Hair and atlashair.com. So that was pretty sweet. Obviously a friend of mine, so I'm pretty biased, but that was a cool idea. You know, obviously salons, clearly, people can't see me, but they're struggling. I haven't had a haircut in a hot minute.
You won't turn. You won't show the backside.
Because the backside's nasty. I do like it. I'm going to keep it long. It's got nice flow right now. But that was cool. So that was my feel good Friday. I like seeing people helping people thinking about people. That was nice.
Yeah, I've been doing a little of that on the clubhouse. I had a Symetra Tour player last week on the clubhouse. That
who?
She basically was she's a nurse. Her name's Sarah.
Dang.
She's a nurse, and she plays golf. It's like 7 months out of the year. And then she's a nurse for like 4.5 months out of the year.
That's awesome. I hope nurses at the end of this get all of them, a paid vacation to wherever the hell they want to go.
Teachers.
And teachers, my gosh.
Some of my friends that have had to homeschool their kids.
Yeah, they're losing it.
It is. I mean, I'm getting texts and calls weekly. Like, I don't know
it's
what to
a
do
nightmare.
Here, man. This is crazy. make sure you follow the new YouTube page. It's our regrift series we're doing on Saturdays. We're doing 2013 U.S. Open this week. We've done some USGA championships that have been fun. Just a place if you want to go back and watch a couple hours of golf with Max and I talking. I mean, we had Morgan Pressel jumped on with us, who came so close in
that was really
U.S.
Cool.
Women's Open. You know, we had Steve Scott jump on in the 96. We've had some guests come on And we've got a couple planned.
I think Tiger's coming on for the...
Tiger's always coming. He's always
invited.
Bugging us. Well, he's bugging us. He texts us. He's like, you mind if I come on? He's like, I don't know if we have enough time. I don't know when the right time to bring you in is. We don't want to mute the broadcasters. Those are obviously the most important people at every golf tournament. Yeah. So Tiger eventually will allow him to come in. But yeah, man, I mean, that's kind of all I got.
That's all I got, man. Slim pickings.
Is that everything?
I don't have a lot.
I hope you guys have a great week. I hope you guys are staying safe and smart. And I hope you guys have a great week.
Stay late.
Yeah. If you didn't get a Mother's Day card, just remember that maybe it's coming today. A lot of the deliveries are delayed. My main gift for my wife was supposed to get her on Friday. And
it didn't. I have this theory. My wife, speaking of that, I guess I have one more thing. When she orders something off Amazon, it comes the next day. And they know her by name. I had an Amazon driver the other day say, hey, I don't think that this is to the right person. And I looked and I said, well, why? And he goes, well, it's because the name's wrong. And it's because it said like her last name instead of, you know, my last name, because it whatever hadn't been switched over. And I'm like, man, these people know you by name. Yet I ordered something last week, Shane. I ordered a pull-up bar so I could get strong like you and Henry have been getting strong. And the thing isn't going to be here for like another week and a half. It's like 15 days delayed. I think Lacey got to figure out some voodoo.
You need to get Lacey to order it.
She did, and she did order. She oh my god, that's what it is. It just came in. The barking was for the pull up bar.
How many pull ups are you about to do right now?
I'm gonna rip out like six at least.
Hey, you know what you need to make sure you do, since you're a pro golfer, is you need to make sure you post that with like hashtag fitness.
Yeah, right.
Or hashtag getting large.
I'm more into hashtag fitness pizza in my mouth.
that's quarantine for Max. Thanks for listening. We're going to try to come back at some point later this week, maybe Wednesday or Thursday, but we need your help to do that. So send in questions at MaxHoma23. If you've got a long question that's not going to fit into a tweet, you can go to Instagram. That's a brand new app. Just came out.
IG
Max is a big Instagram guy. And follow at Get A Grip Pod. That's our specific podcast Instagram account, and you can send as long a message as you want there. I mean,
please.
It could be 4,000 words. It could be.
I don't love reading. It could be 20 minute question. I'm not going to read it.
If it's a 20 minute question, I'll read it to Max. And
you need to find the sweet spot.
You know what? I want you to send a question, and it's so long that Max can do 30 pull ups while I read the question.
So it's that's like, what, 2 weeks worth of reading.
We're gonna play. Hey, really quick. You and I are playing golf tomorrow. Said you've been swinging great.
God, let's get an over under. My OU is 66 and a half.
66 and a half.
I'm shooting 600 tomorrow, no doubt.
I'm going to say mine's 69 and a half because I haven't broke 70.
Nice and a half.
And a half. Nice I haven't broke half. 70. I keep making all these bogeys. You and I, and also a prediction. Max and I are winning the team game.
We are. I'm coming Don't off even a win play with Ashton last week.
You did no, win it with Ashton. Because
we need more people to play.
Yeah, actually, everybody sign up. It. Yeah, playing it. All right, have a great week. Hopefully, we'll check back with you on Thursday. Send in your questions.
And wash your hands.
Keep washing those things.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.